But I want you to remind yourself, and somebody needs to write this down, by default, I am anointed. By default, I am anointed. As I accept Christ, by default, I'm anointed. It is not about how much that you do. It is not about how much that you try to dedicate in what your flesh can do. Because what do you say to people that are in stage 4 cancer and too weak to jump up and down when you say, jump up and down and praise the Lord? What do you say to somebody that's going through a circumstance that is more difficult than we even can ever understand? What do you tell people that are in situations that are bigger than they are? The fact of the matter is, we have no advice for them. We have no opinion to change anything. But if they have Christ, by default, they have a way of escape. I have seen people that were dealing with sickness that rather than God healing them, He took them. And in my heart, I was grievous because I wondered why that they had to go. And the Lord spoke to me once about somebody that I was grieving over. And He showed me that when the quality of life is less than the suffering that would be bore, then He is merciful to take them. And I have found that in your situations, that when your quality of life in something that you have lessens your ability to be happy greater than the presence of the enemy, those are the things that God wants you to pluck up, prune, and remove. Because some of us, to be honest with you, and if I'm looking at you, I'm not directing it at you. I'm just making sure you know I'm talking to you. Some of us couldn't handle being rich. Some of us couldn't handle having a certain person as our person in our life. Some of us couldn't handle a fancy car. Some of us couldn't handle living in a different city. Because sometimes, Derek, I've asked myself, why was I born and raised in Campbell County? Why couldn't I have been born in Los Angeles, California, where the sun's always out and there's no snow where I used to slip around? Why couldn't I have been placed in better situations? And here's a hard lump to swallow. I couldn't have handled being anywhere else than where I am. Because if it had been His will that I could have handled it, I would have been there. So I'm just going to go vacation to a few places because I know where my heart is now. And that's where He placed me. And this is what God gave me prophetically for some of you tonight. Where you are, right in the middle of your mess, you are set in a place that you are able to handle. Because if He had set you elsewhere, you would not have been able to bear it. But He has anointed you by default to handle just where you are. Oh, I felt that. He has anointed you. You wish maybe you were with somebody else. You wish that you had a lot more. You wish that you were at a better church where the preacher didn't aggravate you so much about your problems. But I'm here to tell you that there's no other place that you could run to. No amount of money that could suffice. No amount of compliments or people that love you that could compare to the glory of God. For I reckon that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'm not telling you anything that's outside of the scripture tonight. This is stuff you can go back and read for yourself. Let's read another scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is not what somebody wants to hear, but this is what God's wanting to tell you. Are you ready? Some of you need to open up and catch this one. Your ways are not ever going to solve this. Your choices will not make you happy. And let me tell you what the Spirit of God does. It is a teacher. It teaches you about why it is a harm to you. And it helps you to know how to get rid of it. And what you can do to fill the void of your emptiness. What's an example of that, brother? Well, when I was a drug addict, the only substance I depended on was drugs. Everything else was optional. And you might not think that that would have been anything that I would ever have been remorseful over or regretful over. But when you go your whole life living in a situation and it's the only thing you know, when it is removed from you, let me tell you, you feel all kinds of empty. Maybe you've been in a place where you've been with somebody 20, 30 years and then Something happens and you don't have them anymore. And everything that you had been defined with up to that moment is now lost or void in your life. But I'm here to tell you that no matter where you are, no matter what you've lost, that nothing that you could ever do on your own will ever fill the void in your life. Like Jesus Christ, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, I'm here to tell somebody, you've got to fill that void in your life with something that is bigger than your train of thought. Because what happens when you lose it all? We can only depend on Christ. What happens when everybody that we know comes against us? We can only know Christ. What happens when all matter of evil is spoken against us? We read that in the scripture. All matters of persecution are all about us. Every time you read about them in trouble, Jehoshaphat turned to the Lord. And that's what we have to do. It's not glamorous to repent. It's not easy to repent. Because in a perfect world, we'd like to repent when nobody else would see that we ever had problems. And I don't know what it is about popular culture today that tells us to recess our feelings, to keep them bottled up. Because if you've ever seen a pressure cooker, there's only one place that pressure can go, and it's out. And God doesn't want you to live under pressure. I'm trying to be as plain about this right now as I can, because if you're going to enjoy this year and not just go through the holidays and be sad when things come about, unless you learn to change your mind about things, things will not change and be different in you. This is a perspective that you have to adopt in your life. We can't lean to our own train of thought. And even those that were greatly educated missed Jesus Christ. So degrees will not bring your success. It's good to go to school. I went to college and graduated. Never thought I could, but praise God I did. But it doesn't make me feel any better about my happiness. It felt good to throw the cap and walk down the aisle and have my little diploma, but I couldn't tell you where that diploma is. I can't hardly remember anything that I had been taught in those classes. And I sure don't ever regret having to go to all those classes early and often. So I know it's not the education that brings satisfaction. But when we're in real situations, I'm talking about real stuff. I'm talking about when somebody cuts you off when you're driving. I'm talking about when the telemarketers just don't leave your phone alone. I'm talking about when you're in a hurry to get back to work from lunch, but they take forever at the drive-thru, and you just want to get to the window and be like, what's your problem? It's only French fries. You ask for your companion to heat you up a meal, and they forget to put on the mayonnaise, and it's like, don't you know I like mayonnaise? Haven't we been together long enough? Our frame of mind only causes us to bring harm. I want you to know that. Did you ever hear the nursery rhyme about the person that everything they touched always turned to gold? Well, that's what happens when you try to touch your frame of thinking on everything. Because you'll lead somebody astray. Why, you ought to just go tell them exactly how you feel, brother. I'd go slash all their tires and really send them a message. Let them know who's boss. And if they did it, you know who'd be responsible? You. Because when we have the capacity to teach others and we don't, the blood is on our hands. Let's read another scripture. I want to go to Psalm 119. And we're getting close to the end, so I know we're getting antsy. If you need to go for a walk, go for a walk. Stretch your legs. You're not going to bother me. Psalm 119 and 99. I want to read some of these things that I want to bring out a little bit. Psalm 119, if you're not aware, this is what some people call God's view of life. And I read verse 99, and it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. That means that God imparts wisdom. That if you've ever been through something tough and you tell somebody else, then they're required to learn of what you've been through or suffer the consequences. Psalm 119, verse 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. God provides understanding. It may not be what you want to accept, but it is something that can be accepted if you will only receive it. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It brings light. We are called to be a light that is set out from the world. We're called to walk by the truth that the Bible has taught us. That means that if light has come and showed you to change your attitude, then it's time that you walk with a changed attitude. If the Scripture has showed you to change your wardrobe, then it's time to go down to Goodies or Prophets, Belk, whatever you want to call it, and change your wardrobe. If it's time for you to change your speech, then it's time to show your speech has been changed. If God has ever delivered you from something, then it is required of you to walk by what has been changed in your life. Because you try to walk in it anyway, it will be revealed because it is light. And this is just simple confession, but there's been some times where I have preached, and it's not that you single out anybody that you would think would come against you, you know, but there have been people along the way that when I see them coming, I know that they're going to help me feel what affliction feels like. And in my humor and funniness, I would say to myself, well, of course, they're going to come when I go through a battle, of course. And it seems like that every time that I just don't let it go immediately when people do that, that very next service, here they come. Sometimes on the front row looking right at me. Here they come, making it harder than it should be. Because sometimes we make things harder than they should be. And we should just learn to let go of things earlier than we do, so that when the light comes, it shows us as cleansed and not afflicted. Because when it says your sins will find you out, you know what that means? That in something that you should have the ability to rebuke, you will stumble and you will be shown as stumbling. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith God gives you. It was given to you when you were formed in your mother's womb. Some people say, I didn't know faith when I was young. I have no idea what faith is. You have every bit of knowledge of what faith is. If you ever laid on a bed and never worried about it falling, you were faithful. If you ever bought anything from McDonald's, and I'm here to tell you, if you ever bought anything from McDonald's, knowing how bad that it is for us and believing you're going to survive, that's faith. I've joked about this before, but if you're ever going to go visit at churches and go to homecomings and eat food by people you don't even know, that's faith. But that's faith in this world. The kind of faith that God gives is what caused you to say, I accept Christ and I believe that He is my Lord. The kind of faith we're talking about is the faith that says that you believe that the Spirit of God was anointed upon you. And as you realize it, you are filled greater from within, like rivers of living water. More than anything, church, I want you to be successful. I want you to be happy. I want to see you get victory over the things that you have talked to me about. I want to see you walk more than able to bear your burdens. I want to see you be a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And if I did not want any of those things, I would not keep coming here. If I wanted anything less for you, I would say, let somebody else preach. If I wanted you just to be like you were, then I would just come in and give you a couple verses, encourage you a little bit, and give you a swift kick and say, God bless you, hope everything works out. But I'm taking the time as God has given it to me to try and get you to think about the situations in your life that need to be differently, because until you learn to change them, you're going to be seen as you are. Going to be seen as you are. You know what that means? Watch out, brother. Because somebody is going to see you at Walmart. They're going to come around the corner when you're having a bad day. And you're just going to frown, snarl, and look the other way. How many people's done that before? Just give me a little bit of eye contact, brother. I'm walking down the... See somebody standing in line. It's like, oh, I think I know. Oh, there's Tim. I better go over here. You can only run so long. I'm being real with you right now. You can only run so long before the things that you don't want to address are going to pin you in a corner. Your addictions one day will pin you in a corner. Your lust for other people is going to pin you in a corner. That power of darkness that you've been able to escape and be spared from by mercy is going to pin you in a corner. And you better know how to answer one day when your trouble comes to overwhelm you. The only word that will cause the devil to tremble is Jesus. The only power that will cause the enemy to flee is Jesus. The only thing that will bring deliverance in a world of wickedness is Jesus. I feel the power of God. Darkness must go in the name of Jesus. Children must be delivered in the name of Jesus. Man, I feel, my God, I feel Him. Woo! I feel Him. Glory to God. Somebody, you better get up and praise Him, because you may not get the chance again. Woo! Somebody shout with me right now. Woo! Somebody shout with me right now. Woo! Somebody shout with me right now. I feel the wheels of change beginning to turn at 13th Street. I feel it in my bones, and I know that God is going to send them to be saved. But unless we're learning to walk successfully, there's nothing to look to. No refuge to find. No place to lay their head. Friends, this is where you need to be. Friends, being at church is the only place that should be important to you. The movies can wait. Your favorite restaurant can wait. Getting on your boat on the lake can wait. Going out with your buddies can wait. Going out for a beer with your family can wait. You've got to change some things and align your purpose to the will of God, or I'm afraid to tell you that wickedness will destroy you. I'm a lot more kind than John the Baptist, because John the Baptist called the whole world wicked. One of the ones that we revere in his writing called every single one of us hypocrites, wicked, awful. He just called it like it was. And I guess he was old enough, he lost his filter. Have you ever talked to an old timer that didn't have a filter? I walked out of a church one night and this lady looked at me and said, "My God, you've got fat." And I thought to myself, well, I like to consider myself well-rounded. But you can call me what you want to. But as long as I'm anointed by God, He's going to get it around any way that He wants to. You might think that what they say about you means anything, but the devil don't have a filter. And he will come to destroy you. And the only thing that will protect you is the virtue of God. Is this good for you tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Don't worry about getting them wrote down. If you want them, I've got all these verses. You can come and look at it after service. Verse 18 says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ." And here you go. "And has given us the ministry of reconciliation." The things that I could not let go of, I'm able to reconcile. The parts of me that are wicked, I'm able to give them up and find something better. The things that would cause my ministry to make others stumble, God allows me to reconcile and grow to be stronger. You have to forgive me when I get excited, but I can't help it, friends. And one last verse, let it be confirmed. Romans 8 and 28, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I read that phrase, and you go back even to that chapter in Proverbs. And he said, "And always acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." I want you to begin to learn to see God's hand in everything. Just hold your hand out right now like this. And imagine a hand of God so big that it takes every single care of your life. Close up your hand. And has a tight grip on exactly how you feel. Exactly every pain, every hurt in this body. Just imagine that God has such a grip on your life that the very moment that you speak healing, He already knows and sees your situation. That's the kind of hand of God that I believe, that when I come to Him in prayer and say, "Take this junk, I don't want it,"
because I'm here to tell you that you might have thought you were good at this, but I'm here to tell you I'm the best one in the room. I was the best at holding a grudge. Oh, friend, if you crossed me in a past life, I'd still be holding on to my bitterness. And maybe you've been there with me and held on to things too long. But the one thing that God changed the very moment I was delivered from drugs and had a sound mind was that every single person I blamed for where I was, every single person I felt like that left me along the way, every single church member I thought should have come and got me to pray, every single time that I felt like somebody should have cared, all the times I had been bitter at my life for the way that things were. I'm talking to somebody right now. I feel it with the fire of God in my mouth. I'm here to tell somebody that you might think that you've got to fix all of this yourself, but the only place that you can bring this kind of stuff is to the sea of forgetfulness. Because the Bible says that it's when it's there, it's never to be remembered. That's right. Come on, church, help me preach. We don't carry a Bible. I heard Brother Mike Griffith preach this once. He said, we didn't walk around carrying history books. We carry the Bible. We don't walk around carrying the history of who we were. We're walking around carrying the history of who we are. Not who we were, but who we are. Because everything that I was, it was thrown away behind me when I accepted Him as Lord. This is what the anointing gave me to tell you. It will help to remove unnecessary anxiety and promote joy. I have never seen anxiety like I have today. You can literally see people sick with worry, and the Holy Ghost come so that that would never stay. He doesn't want you to worry about if they're going to call you back for a job. He wants you to put it in that great big hand and walk with peace. Because truthfully, no matter how secure your job is, nobody knows if you're getting another paycheck. You might take your car to all the oil changes. You might have all of the receipts stapled and timetabled in folders and got it in a fancy cabinet that says car receipts from my super awesome car. I don't care what you do. You have no promise that you're getting home in that ride. I'm here to tell you, Sunday night I preached my heart out. We go over to visit a family member. It's so wet on the ground we can't even get the car out of the driveway. And we had to call four people to come push the car. And here I am at the back of this car thinking, what more do I have to do to get out of situations like this? And we finally got it moving. And I got a whole lot of mud all the way up to the top of me. And had to ride home covered in mud thinking to myself, what more do I have to do to get out of these kinds of situations? But I'm here to tell you, there's no escape from the random. There's no escape from tragedy. There's no escape from the call of God that will come one day when He looks for you to have the knowledge of Christ in you. Yeah, I waited for the mud to dry off. I got it all picked off. I'm going to put it in the washer and see what happens. But what's a pair of pants to your salvation? What's one thing somebody says about us compared to our ministry? Somebody do this with me right now. It's nothing. We're going to sweep it off. It don't mean nothing. What's one bad service to heaven? Hope for a better one. It's nothing. We might come in and fail last week, but that doesn't mean we have to keep failing. I want to see us not in this place by the end of this year. I want to see us doubled in attendance in this place over here, because I'm here to tell you, if I keep on preaching, God's going to keep on filling. And if we keep on being obedient, God's going to cause 13th Street Church of God to do something bigger than the building, bigger than all of us put together, and to do the signs and wonders that God has called us to do. Oh, I'm motivated. I'm motivated. If it weren't so cold, I'd get us out there marching around the parking lot. Oh, if we weren't so dignified, we'd do some foot washing. Oh, if we weren't so dignified, we'd get a prayer line going. If we didn't have so much to do that we would rush somebody to get over with what they're saying, you're missing out on what God has for you. So here's the favorite three words that I'll say that you'll look forward to. So in conclusion, I have to joke about it. If I don't laugh about it, it becomes a hindrance. So I just laugh about it. I take too long. So what? If you've enjoyed it, if God can make the sun stand still, then he can cause you to not be aware of time when somebody's preaching. That's what God spoke to me when I prayed about trying to shorten it. That's what he told me last week. Because trust me, the rumors get around. I hear it, you know. I see the way you look at me. I know what you're thinking. But you know, maybe the night that you're too tired, it's not for you. But I know it's for somebody.